Thank you, brother. It is a blessing to be here today. We've been looking forward to coming, and your pastor has bragged about you. And this is a very friendly church, and we love your pastor. Your pastor is a friend to missionaries, many different missionaries, and a friend to Mexico. He's come down a number of times to our work and taught and preached and is always a tremendous blessing to us. And I pray that this morning that we could be a blessing to you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. What we'll do this morning, let me read just a few verses, and then I'll tell you a little bit about us and our work, and then we'll get into God's Word, and as we go through the message, I'll tell you more about us and our work, and pray that this passage of Scripture might be an encouragement to you this morning. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and I would like to talk about sowing the seed this morning, and sowing and reaping. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6, and we'll read three verses to start with, verses 1, verses 4, and verse 6, and later on we'll look at some of the other verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." In verse 4, the Bible says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." And verse 6, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." As your pastor said, my name is Nelson Dorr. This is my wife, Kathy, and we're missionaries down in Mexico. If you were to drive from here down I-10 to Tucson, and at Tucson you would get on I-19, and so what is that, about a two-and-a-half-hour drive down to the border, then I-19, if you stay right on that highway, when you come, I-19 turns into Highway 15 in Mexico. And you just head south on Highway 15, and you'll drive about 8 hours, and you'll come into the Mayo River Valley. And that's where we are, in the Mayo River Valley. That's where we have been working for almost 30 years. And the Lord has been good. We are, if you look on the map, we're near the city of Navojoa. As you come down to, just before you get into Navojoa, just before you cross the bridge to go over the Mayo River, if you look off to your left, you'll see the roof of our church building off, maybe a quarter of a mile off the highway. And we work with the Mayo Indian people. A lot of our people are Indians. And we have a church that we've established that we're currently at. We're using that church as a ministry grounds to train young preachers and young ladies for the ministry. And we also have a Bible Institute where they train, and an orphanage. We have about 16, 17 children in our orphanage, a boys' home and a girls' home. And we covet your prayers. We need your prayers. You know, Mexico is just like the United States. It's a mission field. And just like in the United States, in Mexico also, Satan is attacking and ruining lives and destroying families, and there's a tremendous need. You know, I had the privilege of pastoring here in the United States in New Mexico for about 8 years, and I realized it's no different. Satan, wherever you are, Satan is working. And so where's the greatest need? Wherever you look. And so God has called us down to Mexico, and we're excited to be down there. As we look into God's Word this morning, I'll tell you some illustrations, some stories about us down in Mexico. But if you ever would like to come and visit us, we'd love to have you. Well, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it's talking about sowing the seed. And we see in these three verses that we've read, we see three principles. First of all, we need to sow our seed in faith. You really can't serve God without faith. In verse 1, the Bible says, cast thy bread. And now, bread is made out of seed. Seed makes bread. We could say, cast thy seed upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And do you know the three laws of sowing and reaping? Help me out here. We always reap what we sow. And so if I sow a kernel of corn, what can I expect to reap? Corn. And if I said something else, you guys, if I said I'm going to plant a seed of corn and I'm looking forward to a good crop of watermelon, you guys would think, okay, this missionary. But you know what? Sometimes God uses physical truths to help us to understand spiritual truths. And sometimes we don't accept that spiritually. But we always reap what we sow. And the second law of sowing and reaping. We always reap much more than what we sow. Now, let's think about this. You sow a kernel of corn. And that kernel produces an ear of corn, or two. And they tell me sometimes three. And we were up in the state of Maine. This was, I think about 16, 17 years ago, maybe 16 years ago. And I like corn on the cob. And I have four children. All our children were with us at that time, and they like corn on the cob. And my kids eat a lot. They're all grown and have kids of their own, but we were eating corn on the cob. We were way up in the state of Maine, and it was locally grown corn. And up in Maine, it doesn't get very warm, and so those ears were not very big. And a thought came to my mind that we were sitting outside eating corn on the cob, and I thought, you know, one kernel produced this ear of corn. And I said to my children, how many kernels are on an ear of corn? And they began to count. And I had a double motive for that. One is I was curious to know how many kernels were on an ear of corn. Secondly, while they were counting, I was eating. And I was eating fast. But they tricked me. And in just a moment, they had the answer. And what they did, I didn't realize you could do this, but they counted one row, and then they counted the rows and multiplied it. Yeah. And they told me, Dad, there's about 650 kernels on a ear of corn. Now think about that. One kernel produced 650 times. Think about a watermelon. You plant a seed of a watermelon seed, and that produces a watermelon that's just full of seeds. I'm gonna tell my kids one day to count the seeds in a watermelon and see if they can trick me. But there's a lot of seeds in a watermelon, and then one seed produces a vine. And I don't know, do we have any farmers in here, any gardeners, how many watermelons we can expect off of one vine? And isn't it amazing? And that ought to really put a fear in our heart, because we're always sowing the seed. We're always sowing some kind of seed, good seed or bad seed. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're not only going to reap that, but we're going to reap much, 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 much more. So we were in Kansas, and we were with a farmer, and he grew corn. And so I asked him the question, a kernel of corn, a seed of corn, how many kernels, on one ear of corn, how many kernels can you expect on one ear of corn? And he said, about 700. So one produces 700, if you only got one ear of corn. And, most times I think you get more than one ear of corn off a stalk of corn. One kernel produces 700 times itself. But Every one of those kernels that is produced becomes another seed. And so 700 times 700, Pastor. 490,000. Am I right? Your pastor is really sharp with mathematics. So now I got another one for you. Each one of those becomes a seed. Yeah, wow. Almost 500,000. Now, there's a phrase that keeps appearing in these verses, verses 1 through 6. And the phrase is, if you'll read it, thou knowest not. And this is my sermon this morning. Our job is to plant the seed. God's job is to give the harvest. And we don't know how he's going to do it. The third law of sowing and reaping. First of all, you always reap what you sow. Second law, you always reap much, 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 much. And I can go on and on. Much, much more than what you sow. The third law of sowing and reaping. Does anybody know the third law of sowing and reaping besides the pastor? Okay, you reap after. It always takes time. Look what it says in verse 1. And this is where we get into trouble. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it right away. That's not what it says. After many days. And every good farmer has a lot of faith. An unsaved farmer, when I was growing up, just south of here in Marana, Arizona. Do you know where Marana, Arizona? It's a cotton farming area, Avra Valley. When I was growing up, and I'd work out in the fields, in the cotton fields. And every farmer understands this truth that it always takes time. The farmer goes in and he prepares the ground, an amazing amount of work and investment just to get the ground ready to sow the seed. And then he buys the seed and all the fertilizer and then all the work involved, and he understands it always takes time. We as Christians feel like, okay, we're going to serve God, and right away I'm going to see something happen. Amazing. And when we don't see it right away, we say, well, it doesn't work for me. It works for other people, but it doesn't work for me. You go out, and after you've prepared the ground, you go out and you sow the seed. And say you're a new farmer. You've never done it before, and you're all excited. You've seen all these other, you've heard all the stories about other farmers that had these tremendous harvests. And so you run back to the barn, and you get the combine, and you come back to the field expecting a wonderful crop of in your field. And he gets back to the field, and what does he see in the field? Dirt. And he's kind of discouraged, and he thought, well, you know, maybe my expectations are too high. And he says, well, I'll go home, and I'll pray about it overnight, and I'll come back in the morning. And he comes back in the morning, and what does he see, brother? Dirt. And now he's getting a little bit discouraged. He's heard about all the other farmers and their tremendous harvests. And he goes back home. And he comes back the next day, and what does he see? Dirt. And the next day. And the next day. No. Weeds. The weeds are starting to come up. Did you know that the weeds beat the corn? And he's saying, no, not only is nothing happening, but it's going from bad to worse. But a farmer has faith that a miracle is happening under that dirt. And his job was just to sow the seed, and he knows he's going to have a harvest. And listen, the Bible says in verse 5, this is just one of the times that we see this phrase, but in verse 5 it says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not
the works of God who maketh all. And it's talking about sowing the seed. And what God is telling us is, listen, let's just go out and sow the seed. That's our job, to sow the seed and leave the harvest to God. Sow thy seed in faith. Secondly, sow thy seed without fear. In verse 4, the Bible says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. If you're waiting for, are you with me? If you're waiting for the circumstances to be perfect to serve God, it's never going to happen. We step out by faith. Satan will make sure that it never happens. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you're waiting for your budget to be completely balanced and to have a surplus to start giving to God, it's never going to happen. You know, down in Mexico, what is hard in Mexico is baptism. And folks down in Mexico, it's like being unpatriotic when somebody gets saved and they follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Catholicism is a part of being a Mexican, a good Mexican. I'm Catholic. And people don't mind if somebody gets saved. And down in Mexico, people are very open to the gospel. Now, just like anywhere in the world, there's mission fields and places in the world that are more open, and there are other places that are more closed. But let me say this. Anywhere you go in the world, the majority of the people are going to reject the gospel. They're on the broad road. But comparatively speaking, Mexico is one of those countries that folks are more open to spiritual things. And I think one of the reasons is that materially they have so little. The economy has been going up in Mexico, and that makes me happy, but it also makes me a little bit afraid. And I think one of the reasons that the economy has been going up lately in Mexico is because of all the drug trade with the United States. The United States just craves the drugs that are coming up out of Mexico. And boy, that's just pumping in millions and millions of dollars into Mexico. And the economy has been doing good in Mexico. It's been coming up. And it scares me that as people become more comfortable in Mexico, and that doesn't mean that everybody in Mexico sells drugs, but the whole country is enjoying the benefits of that terrible drug trade. And it scares me that as people become more comfortable physically, that they're going to become less open spiritually. I believe that this is Mexico's time. Mexico has never been more open to the gospel, I don't believe, than it is right now. But somebody will get saved. You'll go handing out tracts in Mexico, and people will see you handing out tracts, and they'll come up to you and say, could I have one of those? And you'll give them a tract, and a lot of people, our kids in our orphanage, love to go handing out tracts. The leaders will take them downtown on Saturday, and they'll hand out tracts. And people will say, thank you. You know, that's quite a bit different. I was at a missions conference in Madison, Wisconsin, and people up there are as cold as the climate. You start approaching them with a tract, and it's like you have a disease that they're going to catch, you know. And you hand a couple of those out, and you feel so good about yourself, you know. But what's hard in Mexico is believers' baptism. And that's when they're publicly making a statement, hey, I'm a Christian. And that's so hard. But, you know, every decision in our Christian life is a faith decision. You know, we walk with the Lord. We walk by faith. And every step is a decision. We make the step to trust the Lord as our personal Savior. That's by faith. We do that by faith. We get saved, not by works, but by faith. That's a decision that we make by faith. And then after we trust the Lord and believers for salvation, the next step is believers' baptism. And that can be very hard for a lot of folks. And in Mexico, if they wait for all their tios and tias to be de acuerdo, in agreement, oh yeah, you ought to get baptized, mijo, heard of that? That's never going to happen. And there's a lot of doubt and a lot of fear. And by faith, they step out and say, okay, I'm going to get baptized. If my whole family rejects me, if my friends are mad at me, I'm going to trust God. And now, this is an amazing thing. The attendance last Sunday was about 230 in Sunday school. And I'll do this in church. And any given Sunday, we'll probably have visitors there. And I'll say, how many of you have trusted the Lord as your personal Savior? And the hands will go up. And I'll say, and we could do the same thing here this morning. I'll say, and how many of you that have trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, and that was a hard step for a lot of folks, are sorry that you did it, that you trusted the Lord as your Savior and that you're saved today. Not one hand goes up. And I'll ask them, how many of you have followed the Lord in believers' baptism? And hands will go up. And a lot of those people battled to make that decision. And I'll say, how many of you that have trusted the Lord in believers' baptism are sorry that you made that decision? Not one hand. And I won't tell them to raise their hands. I'll say, now, I could ask you, if you've made the decision to start tithing. Now, let me say this. Mexicans think, well, an American, it's easy for an American to tithe because they have so much money. An American thinks, no, it's easy for a Mexican to tithe because I make so much more money. My tithe is so much greater than a Mexican. Listen, it's not easy for anybody to start tithing. That's a hard step. And I could say here this morning, how many of you, or don't raise your hands, okay? How many of you have, by faith, stepped out, and you don't do it because the budget balances. You do it because God has asked you to do it. And you start tithing. How many of you are sorry and you're sad that you're tithing? And not one hand would go up. How many of you read your Bibles and you're sad that you read your Bibles? Not one hand would go up. How many of you tell other people about Jesus Christ? That's a hard decision to start witnessing. And you're sad that you tell. And listen, every step that requires faith, did you know that fear and faith go together? Fear and faith go together. But faith will conquer fear. And if we'll put our eyes on Jesus Christ, we'll have more faith than fear. Get our eyes off the world. I remember the night before we went into Mexico, moved into Mexico. We had the family in the car and all of our clothes. And we were in South Texas. This was over 30 years ago. We were in South Texas. And the next day we were going to go into Mexico, cross the border. And it was late at night. We got into a little town in South Texas, and there was this little motel. And I didn't have much money, and I went in. It was one of these. It wasn't a chain, let me say that. And I had to wake the guy up, and he came out. And I said, "What is the price to stay the night here?" And he told me, and I said, "Well, we're going to go on." And then he lowered the price. And I said, okay, we'll stay. And so we went into the little motel room. And old Satan began to work me over. The family, boy, they were tired. They went to sleep, but I couldn't go to sleep. And Satan said, how many people do you know in Mexico? Well, we don't hardly know anybody. But you speak the language well, don't you? Well, I don't speak the language at all. Well, you have good support, don't you? And we had terrible support. We went into Mexico on $400 a month. We thought we had more, but some of the promises didn't come through. And oh man, Satan worked me over. And I was so afraid. Satan said, "What are you doing? What kind of a responsible husband and father are you taking your family into Mexico? Your two little girls." And listen, if we set out to serve God, there's going to be some fear involved. Luckily, the next morning, the sun came up, and I had a cup of coffee and had been talking with the Lord. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Oh, listen, we don't do it because it makes sense. We don't do it because it's easy. We do it because God is directing us to do it, and we just step out by faith. And we believe that walking with God is better than not walking with God. Listen, if we're going to walk by God, let's not fool ourselves. If we're going to walk with God, we have to walk by faith. And walking with God is just making a decision, and then God leads us to make another decision. And God leads us to make another decision. And these are decisions that we have to make by faith. Sow thy seed in faith. Secondly, sow thy seed without fear. Third, sow thy seed with fervor. Sow thy seed with fervor. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. We need to take every opportunity that we can. You know, the wonderful thing is there's so many different ways to sow the seed. When you put a dollar in the offering plate, think about this now, that dollar is a seed. And we saw with the illustration of the corn on the cob, that ear of corn, what we can expect from our investment. And it's amazing. When you put a tract, you leave a tract on the table at the restaurant, you're sowing the seed. When you come to church, you're sowing the seed. Everything that we do for the Lord, we're sowing the seed. What a wonderful thing that God allows us to sow the seed in so many different ways. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. I like to think about this as sowing the seed in the morning of our Christian life. We get saved, and sometimes we're not so young. Some folks are not so young, but in the morning of our Christian life, we ought to sow the seed. And then as we get to be older Christians, we ought to sow the seed. I used to think when my dad was still living, my dad died a soul winner. I took him to the funeral home. He had stomach cancer, and he knew that his days, he just had a month or so to live. And he wanted to take care of all the business. And I took him to the funeral home so he could take care of everything, so my mother wouldn't have to worry about anything. And he was witnessing to people. When he was in hospice, we had him at the house, and the nurse would come out to take care of him, and he'd witness to the nurse. He was a soul winner. And so I had my father as an example to me. He was in the evening of his Christian life. And then I had my son, Mike, and he was in the morning of his Christian life, serving God, missionary down in Mexico. And, listen, it's easy to think I'm going to be 60 this week, brother. And I told my church, I want a birthday party. I've never asked for a birthday party before, and we're going to use it Sunday for a promotion. Everybody's going to bring desserts, and we're going to have a blowout. We're going to cancel Sunday school. How carnal is that? We're going to have cancel Sunday school. Boy, I like you guys. You had some good stuff out there this morning. You just didn't give me enough time to eat it. And we're going to cancel Sunday school and just eat desserts. And I'm going to turn 60. And it's easy for me to think, man, I'm tired of pushing myself. And I'm just going to back off. Let the younger people do it. Let Mike do it. But, you know, as long as... And God might call us to work in a different way, you know, than the younger people. But if we're on this earth, it's because God has a purpose for us. God has a wonderful plan for us to sow the seed. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Here's that phrase again. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. When you put that tract on the table or give it to the waitress, you don't know what's going to happen. But when that farmer plants a seed in the ground, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Not every seed grows, but a lot of them do. And God promises that if we'll sow the seed, he'll give the harvest. Let me give an illustration and quote a verse, read a verse, then I'll be done. When we first moved into the valley, my Spanish was terrible. We'd gone to a language school down near Monterey, and you know, I thought every missionary thinks in 1 year they're going to be speaking perfect Spanish. And after a year, I was pretty discouraged because I felt like I was getting worse in my Spanish, actually. And we moved over to the valley where we are now. And Kathy was pregnant with our son, our third child. And man, I didn't know anything. I was young, in my 20s still. And we moved into the valley, and I didn't know, should I work in the city? Should I work out in the villages? A lot of villages where we are, a lot of rural population. I didn't know what to do. And I was praying. We'd been there a couple days, 2-3 days, and I was praying and out driving around looking at it. And I said, Lord, what should we do here? And I was driving down the main road in the valley, and beside the road there was two young mothers and a young man. And they were standing there, and they had groceries around their feet, grocery bags. And I realized what had happened is they'd caught the bus out to the road that goes back to where they live, and they were hitchhiking. They were trying to get a ride back to where they live. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity. So here's some people. They need some help, and I can give them the help. There's a lot of things I can't do, but I can give them this help. And so I pulled in, made a quick turn, pulled in, and offered them a ride. And they were very timid, and they got into my van. I don't know if they'd ever met an American before. And I was giving them a ride, and it turned out they lived in a little small village back in the farm fields. And I was driving them. I didn't know where we were going, how far it was going to take. And I thought, you know, I've got an opportunity here. You know, God presents us every day with opportunities. And I handed them some tracks. And we drive a little farther, and I introduce myself as a missionary. We drive a little farther, and I said, you know, I'd love to come to your village someday and have a Bible study. What could they say? You know, they're in my vehicle. The Mexicans are very gracious. Sí, sería bien. And I thought, man, I'm going to take advantage of this. And I said, well, how about if I come in a few days? How about if I come on Friday? Okay. And I made the mistake of telling him the exact time that I was coming. I'll be here Friday at 3 o'clock as I was dropping him off. It turned out to be a little tiny village of about 110 people, just shacks. They were squatters on the land that belonged to the state. For the road is where they were living. That village had been on the other side of the road, and a hurricane came through and blew all their materials to the other side. And so instead of dragging it all the way to the other side of the road, they just built it where the materials were. That's true. I'm not preaching right now. This is the truth. No electricity, hand-dug wells, And so I went home, and I was excited. Man, I've got my first Bible study. I'm going to tell people about the Lord. And I was coming back. Now, I'm a doubter. I'm kind of negative. And I'm coming back, and I thought, man, I made a terrible mistake because I told them the exact time that I was going to show up to have a Bible study, and they know the exact time not to be home. But I got there, and they were standing outside waiting for me, them and some other people, and they had their good clothes on. And I got out of my vehicle, and brother, have you heard this story before? Yeah? Have you been out to that village? Have I ever taken you out to that? I think so. And so I get out, and we have this little Bible. We go into this little adobe house, two rooms. The ceiling's about that high. The roof is about that high. And sit on the bed and on some buckets, and I get started, just the simple plan of salvation, and more people come. There's a lady standing in the middle of the road at the other end of the village, hollering and screaming, and I think, what is her problem? But I'm so excited about the people coming that I ignore her, and I get started again, and then some more people comes. Eventually, this young man comes in, and he was kind of, I didn't like him. He seemed prideful. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm just having a Bible study. And he said, who gave you the right to come here? And I said, I believe God led me here. And he said, what's the difference between you and Catholics? And I said, how do you answer that? You're surrounded by Catholics. I said, I just believe what the Bible says. He thought about that, and he says, how do you believe somebody can go to heaven? And I said, sit right here. And we went through the plan of salvation. And some folks prayed to get saved, and that young man prayed. But I didn't like him, and I didn't think he really got saved. And later on, to make a long story not quite so long, later on, I found out he was the leader of that village, the elected leader of that village, and he came to run me out of that village. And that was his mother at the other end of the village hollering and screaming about me. She was upset about me, and she was calling me Satan and a demon. And I think people were coming to see what a demon looked like. But that guy that came to run me out of that village is the pastor in that village now. And your pastor knows Pastor Ismael. He teaches in our Bible Institute. He actually pastors two churches. This is my point. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. And God presents to us opportunities to sow the seed. Now let me say this. Right now we're just seeing the first fruits. God is preparing the harvest. And the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things, now think about this, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And we think about the things that God has prepared for us in heaven. Streets of gold and gates of pearl. And we begin to describe, and what we're doing is we're talking about the building materials. And that's God, the pavement is going to be nice in heaven, but that's not what God is excited about. And the greatest thing that God has prepared for us in heaven, is preparing for us, is the harvest. And when we get to heaven, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we think, and Satan tells us, what you're doing is not much. But God's going to tell us, come in. I want to show you what your faithfulness has accomplished. And he's going to show us the harvest. And I think the Bible doesn't talk about heaven because it won't fit in our minds. And we're going to see what our little bit of faithfulness has accomplished, and it's going to blow our minds. And I think there's going to be two thoughts that cross our minds when we get to heaven, God shows us the harvest. We're going to say, praise God, I did what I did. Praise God, I did something. Then we're going to think, why didn't I sow more? That little speck of time called life, when I had the opportunity to do more, God gave me the incredible opportunity to sow more. There's no limit on fields. There's no limit on the seed. And God has given us our whole life to sow the seed. Every day we can sow the seed. Listen, we need to take advantage of the opportunity. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Amen. Pastor?